welcome to More Than Words, a podcast about treating the whole child, brought to you by the Reading and Language Learning Center. I'm your host, Tristan, and today I'm joined by educational specialist Lynn Clayman to discuss building foundational skills to help children become successful readers. Hi, Lynn, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're happy you're here. We're excited to chat about this. So let's start with an introduction. Tell us about who you are and what you do.
Oh, okay, great. So as you said, my name is Lynn Clayman, and I've been in the world of education for more than 30 years. I was a classroom teacher for kindergarten, first grade, second grade for many, many years. And then more recently, I was the learning specialist at Georgetown Day School here in Washington, D.C., for more than a decade. So my passion is emergent reading. I work with families whose kids are having any sort of challenges at school, whether it be reading based or behavioral or ADHD, things like that. And I help families figure out next steps. I help them figure out their goals and how to reach their goals, whether they might need assessments or different supports. So I work with families privately to help them in those areas.
That's awesome. So if people were looking for your help, your assistance, your services, where would they go?
So thank you for asking. They could go to my website where they would learn a lot about me and more about my services. And that website is lynnclaymaneducation.com.
Perfect. Okay. So I'll link that in the show notes so people can find you. And do you generally do virtual or are you in person as well?
Oh, absolutely in person. I work with kids both ways. I do work with children a little bit and I do teach reading, but more I am helping families sort of navigate these challenging issues that they're facing.
Right. Okay. So if someone were to come see you in person, where are you located?
I'm in DC.
Okay, perfect.
I'm in Upper Northwest DC.
Perfection. Alrighty. Well, let's hop into these wonderful questions we've got.
Great.
Yeah. So we're talking about the foundational skills for kids to be those successful readers, raising a future reader. So what age would you say you should start introducing like literacy concepts?
Well, that's a great question because kids don't really learn to read until generally 4 or 5, all the way to 7 or 8. And in that time frame is really normal for kids. But we start building literacy or pre-literacy skills really from the moment they're born.
Wow.
Because the pre-literacy skills, building this strong foundation, is what's going to support them learning to read when they get to kindergarten, first grade.
Right.
So some of those skills we're talking about are oral language skills, you know, having strong expressive and receptive vocabularies and good listening and comprehension skills. And then there's other pieces, which I can talk further about. Alphabetic principle, which is really understanding that there are systematic and predictable relationships between written letters and spoken sounds. And kids get that when you're reading to them and there are books all around them and they see their parents reading.
Right.
So that's something, you know, these are skills that are building this strong foundation so that kids will be ready to learn later on. There's another skill called phonological awareness, which people may have heard about because that's sort of talked about a lot lately and there are articles written about it. And that's really the awareness and ability to work with sounds in the spoken language. Can you hear individual sounds? Can you hear rhymes? Can you produce rhymes? Right. Can you hear first letters? And parents often do that naturally with their kids, with songs and poems and listening to stories that have rhymes. You know, Dr. Seuss is a great example of that. So everything that parents are doing and doing naturally, a lot of it is all building this strong foundation. So back to your question about when you start, you start from birth.
Wow. Yeah, that is funny. You don't realize how many things that you just think are like you know, like fun to do with your child that are really building that literacy. Like you said, like the Dr. Seuss books and rhymes and singing songs and all of that. So it's awesome to hear parents are getting started already.
You see parents talking to their babies and trying to get them to speak and saying, mama, mama. Right. No, those are the sounds of the language. And they are learning those sounds and learning to differentiate between the sounds and produce those sounds. And that is all really the basis, part of the basis for reading.
Yeah. So what are some of the ways that you can support the literacy when you're at home?
So, you know, number one, I would say is reading to kids. Yeah. And parents are great at this. And bedtime reading is, besides being foundational to literacy, it's also a great bonding time for parents and kids.
Right.
In so many ways, you know, snuggling and being cozy in bed and hearing a story is great. I mean, I do say never, you know, try to keep any friction out of that time.
Right.
So that the association with books and with stories and reading is always a positive one.
Yeah.
So, you know, no fighting about having kids read to you or we read that book already, you know, and of course I raised two kids. There's always going to be a little bit of that.
Right.
You can't avoid that completely, but to try and keep that time as positive as possible. So when you read to kids, you are exposing them to vocabulary that's not usually used in conversational English.
Yeah.
So you are expanding their vocabularies exponentially by reading to them.
Right.
You are expanding their worldview. They get to connect with other cultures and time periods and all of that and different types of people and lives and all of that. So that's right. Also so important for kids to have a broader view of the world than what's inside their four walls.
Right.
When you read to kids, they start to understand what stories are.
Mm.
And that, you know, when you're reading to a 5 or 6 year old, they can start to make predictions because they're starting to understand how stories work.
Right.
And even though they might not be saying it out loud, most kids' books have happy endings. And so right. Kids are going to predict by the time they're 5 or 6 or 7 that, you know, the boy is going to find his dog
right.
Or the girl is going to get the prize or they're yeah. going to be friends again. They sort of are starting to learn how stories work, that there's yeah. usually characters and a setting and all of that. And even if you're not explicitly teaching that to them, you're sort of implicitly teaching it to them. They're getting it anyway.
Yeah.
So all that to say is that will help them later with their comprehension skills.
Right.
When they are reading to themselves, they will understand how stories work a little better.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I never, like, obviously, you know, a child is born and they have to learn all of the things. Right. But it's just funny to think that a story isn't like inherent, the way of storytelling or just the idea of a story isn't inherently like known, and you learn it through, obviously through reading and through the experience of storytelling. So that is really like funny to think about.
Well, and they also get something called print awareness oh. when you're reading books to them. And that's a really important foundational skill to reading as well. And that includes understanding that these little squiggles all over the world are words right. and that these words carry meaning.
Right.
And they learn how books work, that these squiggles inside of books are words and they stay the same when your parents read them the next night.
Right.
And they learn that, I mean, even how books work, that there's a cover and a title, and you, kids often talk about the illustrator. They know what that means.
Right.
Sometimes you might show them later on the table of contents and chapters. So they're really learning about how print and text and books work as well.
Right.
That also is not something people just know naturally.
Right. Yeah.
This is a little aside note, but it reminded me of this. Human beings are not hardwired to read.
Right.
We're hardwired for language.
Mm-hmm.
If you immerse kids in language, they learn language. Human beings learn language. Reading, you know, you'll always find a few kids who do learn to read in sort of this miraculous way on their own.
Right.
But most people, because our brains are not hardwired for reading, need to be taught to read. So that's why building these foundational skills are really important too.
Yeah. So the foundational skills for at home sound a lot like, you know, what you traditionally see in movies or with other family members, reading at bedtime and things of that nature. But what do you do if you're like out of the house, say you're on a road trip or you're running errands or you're visiting with friends? Like, what do you do in your daily life outside the home that could support that literacy?
So if you are in a car with your kids, which many parents are, that's a great time. There's sort of a captive audience in the car. Right. And you can play games with them, oral games. So I touched on something called phonological awareness a couple of minutes ago, and that's a very important skill. As I said, it's the ability to hear the individual sounds in language. It's nothing to do with looking and seeing. It's not visual. Mm. Reading starts in the ears, not in the eyes.
Wow.
So kids have to be able to hear the sounds in language. So I spy with my little eye something that starts with the P sound or something right. like that. So they're starting to hear the sounds in words, or what sound does the word pig start with? And that they can separate out that beginning sound from the rest of the word is a very important skill, because we need to hear the individual sounds, break them apart to write, and put them together to read.
Right.
And so practice at that in an oral way is really important for kids. So you can also play music or sing songs together.
Yeah.
A lot of kids' music have alliteration in it, you know,
yeah.
words that all start with the same sound. That's an example of phonological awareness, rhyming. So either you play rhyming games with your kids, or you listen to books on tape or music that has a lot of the rhyming in it, and talk about it, you know, yeah. point it out. Don't just listen to it. Oh, those are rhymes. Do you know what rhymes are? And where else do you hear the rhymes? Or, you know, raise your hands every time you hear a rhyme word.
Oh, that's fun.
To really talk about it. Yeah.
yeah.
Have fun with it. So that's also really important to me. And I'm just going to say that as an overarching theme, have fun with it.
Right.
Have it happen organically.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, okay, we're going to sit down and we're going to practice phonological awareness now. Mm. So none of that, really, having it happen organically. You can point to things outside of your home and your car. You can look at signs. Kids start very early to notice what we call environmental print.
Mm.
So it's really just stop signs. You know, they know the
right.
stop sign. And there's more that they're noticing clearly besides the letters STOP. They know the,
right.
the shape of the sign and the color and the way the words are written and the font and all
right.
of that. You know, they start to notice McDonald's signs really quickly and things
yeah.
like that. But that is the beginning of reading.
Wow.
You know, so noticing
funny.
it's visual. Yeah. I tell this silly story that when my daughter was about 3 or 4 years old, we were in a different city and we happened to pass a mall and she said, Nordstrom.
So oh my gosh.
She could and she couldn't read at all at this
right.
point, but she could recognize the sign Nordstrom because she had sort of
wow.
learned it.
Right.
You know, it's like logos almost. They sort of get to understand logos, but those are sort of written representations of language. So
yeah.
it's an important skill.
Oh my gosh. How funny. That is really interesting. The like signage and things of that nature that your kids do just recognize.
And then in the house, you know, you're making dinner and your child is helping you and you're looking at a recipe, point it out and
yeah.
talk to them about the recipe.
Right.
You know, whether you're looking at something on the computer or looking something up in a book, like the reading and the showing them the value and helping them appreciate the value of reading is important. Creating a positive attitude toward reading and sort of instead of it being a chore or something
yeah.
difficult.
Right. So you mentioned like it being a chore, right? Like kids sometimes will feel like that. So what are the things that you would say you should avoid doing when you're promoting literacy for these little ones?
So, you know, as I said, I would avoid with little ones, having it be like learning time in their brain, you know, and we're not going to sit down, and I don't believe in workbooks for young children.
Yeah.
I don't really believe in, you know, let's sit down and practice our reading skills or our learning skills. Like I said, making it fun and incorporating it into their play or their cozy warm times with you.
Right.
Some examples, let's see. I love those alphabet train puzzles where each car of the train has a different letter on it.
Yeah.
Because when they're building the puzzle, you know, it's a long train.
Right.
And after they, as they do the puzzle, they have to say to themselves over and over again, A, B, C, D. Oh, I'm looking for D next. A, B, C, D, E, F. So they have to keep repeating it for every piece of the puzzle they add on.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. Bathtub sticky letters.
Ooh, yeah.
And you may have those out before you actually teach them the names of it. It may be something they could just play with and explore and look at the shapes of. Some of them are round, some of them are pointy, some of them are tall. Just really becoming aware of it even before the teaching of actual reading begins.
Yeah. Yeah. And are there any other things that you think should be kind of like, I don't know, that you've seen that has been either like a detriment to the enjoyment of reading or any other things you think you should avoid?
You know, as I said before, about nighttime story time,
right,
just keeping any sort of conflict out of it, because we want all the associations with reading and writing to be positive and warm and cozy and happy, you know. So to sort of, I had a parent once tell me that their kid really didn't like reading and writing a lot. And, you know, I dug a little deeper and the parent had their child write 3 sentences every morning before school as practice or things like that.
Oh.
And no one wants to do that, you know? So I thought, oh, well, you know, there's a piece of the issue sort of, you don't want them to, you want them to like reading and be good readers, but if you push them into something that's kind of miserable for them, they're not going to have that association, because in these early years, we're really building that association with reading and their attitudes toward reading. And so we want that to be as positive as possible.
Yeah. And I want to go back to you mentioned the alphabet train, which sounds like a ton of fun. I feel like some parents are worried about starting kindergarten and wondering what in the world they should teach their kids before they get there. So do you say that the alphabet is something that a child going into kindergarten should know already? Or what do you say? What do you think?
You know, times have really changed certainly from when I was a child, where we didn't really learn much literacy. Specific literacy skills, we did pre-readings, like these foundational skills that I mentioned, but actual learning to read didn't happen until first grade. But times have changed and it has pushed down, unfortunately, in my opinion, personally, but it is what it is. And kids in kindergarten are doing a lot of literacy.
Right.
So I think having them know their alphabet, know the names of the letters and the sounds of the letters. Sounds of letters are much more important than names of letters,
right?
But they often do go hand in hand. So I think that is a good skill to have going into kindergarten.
Right.
That said, not every kindergartner or beginning kindergartner, certainly the ones who start at 4 years old, is developmentally ready.
Right.
So, I talk about this a lot with parents. Kids have to be developmentally ready to learn to read and to learn any of these skills that you're teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when a child is learning to walk, if you have a 10-month-old, but you really want that child to walk and you think my baby is ready and I'm going to practice with her every single day, and you hold her little fingers up and you walk her across the room. If her brain isn't ready, if her muscles and body and coordination and the brain's talking to the muscles is not developmentally there yet, she won't learn to walk yet, no matter how much practice you give her. So, and it's sort of the same with reading. All those pieces, those developmental pieces, have to be in place for kids to learn how to read. So whereas I'd like to say, you know, most kids should know their alphabet before going into kindergarten, not every child does.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily mean there's a problem or they're delayed or anything like that. They just may not be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and they may be ready 4 months, 6 months, 8 months right. from that point.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I mean, like I said, I feel like parents are always so worried about what exactly needs to be taught, like right before kindergarten. I remember we had, we had someone on the podcast chat about the things to know, like specific things to know before kindergarten. And the one thing was like, just make sure they know like their name and like your name. And like, that's good. Like, that's what we need as a foundational skill. But like after right. that, it's more, like you said, like developmental. So thank you for,
and because kids, you know, there's a range of, some kindergartners have a range of more than a year.
Right.
And the amount of growth and development that happens over a year in a 4-year-old's life, from when they're 4 to when they're 5, or when they're 4.5 to 5.5, is huge.
Yeah.
So there may be a kindergartner who's closer to 6, and there may be one who is still 4 or just turned 5. That's a big range.
Yeah.
So not every kindergartner is exactly at the same place and ready for the same skills.
Exactly. So another timeline kind of question, but when do you think you can start encouraging your child to read? And this could be an age, or this could be signs that you can tell, like developmentally, you think a child's ready.
So with young children, 4 or 5, you know, I usually tell parents to let the child lead.
Okay.
If your child, when you're reading to them at night, or when you're out on the street and the child is saying, what does that say? Or what does that letter? Or starting to really notice the print concepts that we talked about. Oh, that looks like the same word as I saw before. Or, you know, what's that letter? Or sometimes they just say, teach me to read. Some kids right. understand that there's this whole world that they want to be a part of, and they right. ask parents to teach. So I say, for especially for the younger ones, you know, the 4 or 5s, let them lead. If they're okay. not asking you for it, I wouldn't push it yet.
Yeah.
They might not be ready. I would let school, really, when they get to school, when they get to kindergarten and first grade, to let that the teachers and the curriculum
right.
lead them into reading. I wouldn't push kids to read unless they're asking you.
Right. Okay. That's good to know.
Showing interest, showing right. desire. Because without that motivation, it's going to be hard for a 4-year-old to learn right. to read, or a 5-year-old. Not that 4-year-olds should read.
Right.
So that's what I guess I'm saying, 4-year-olds, because I don't think parents should try and push 4-year-olds to learn to read.
Right. Yeah. My niece is 4. She's about to be 5. And we got to babysit her a couple weekends ago, and it was very sweet. She got a letter from a pen pal. And mind you, this letter, I can't remember how old her pen pal is, but I'm absolutely positive the pen pal wrote it, because it looks like, you know, like a kindergartner wrote it. So cute. And she was very excited, and she goes, can you read this to me? I don't know how to read yet. And I like that she had the awareness that she didn't yeah. know how to read, but she was very excited to receive this letter, and she was excited to write her friend back. And it was just like a sweet moment to see, just like developmentally, and, you know.
It is sweet. And that's a great example, because she has enough print awareness to know that something was written in this letter
right.
using, she knew that these symbols on the page represented words, which represent meaning,
right.
which carry meaning. She knew all that.
Right.
She knew it was to her. She knew right. it was written by somebody. So she had a lot of these foundational skills going into this.
Exactly.
And she, you know, she's not reading yet. And they are aware of that.
Right. Yeah. It was very sweet.
It is cute.
Yeah.
You know, there are countries in the world that don't teach kids, don't actively teach reading until second grade, third grade.
Oh, wow.
And those countries often do very well in reading scores later on.
Right.
There's no research that says that early readers are better readers later on or better right. students. So, you know, parents sometimes get anxious, oh, she's not reading yet, or I better start right. her so she's ahead of the curve. But there's really no need for that because they all sort of catch up in their reading skills eventually. So the kids who may start a little bit earlier aren't necessarily better for it later on.
Right.
So there's really no need to push for that reason.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you, that was like my next thing I was going to ask you is when is it that parents should be worried, right? Because I mean, dyslexia exists. And so like that is something that, you know, you want to start addressing sooner rather than later. But as we just discussed, there's all of these things that have to happen developmentally for a kid to even be able to start reading. So when do you say parents should start to be like, we should maybe get that checked out?
It's a good question. There are a lot of sort of signs that people can look for
yeah.
that point to dyslexia at different ages. But earlier on, you want to see their language, their oral speaking skills and their receptive language skills sort of pop in at appropriate times. And if you think your child is not speaking well or not using vocabulary that's appropriate for a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old and their right. skills aren't good, that might be a good time to check in with a speech pathologist
yeah.
or even your pediatrician to start to, if you're starting to notice that things aren't really in place. Like I said earlier, there's a spectrum of
Absolutely.
Abilities at different ages,
right.
but parents often know, my kid is not speaking as well as they should be at this age. And
right.
so that might be time to go seek out some help. And it's very normal for kids, to work with the speech pathologist to build their language skills
right.
when they're young. And that too will help them later on with their reading and writing and literacy skills.
Yeah, that is something that's interesting to me that I guess I never really thought about is just a small bit of the language portion when they are young. Because then it does like help them be like set up for reading later. So that is interesting.
Yeah, and dyslexia, you know, when I talked about a little bit earlier about reading begins in the ears,
yeah.
not the eyes.
Right.
And dyslexia is a language learning disorder.
Mm-hmm.
It's about their language. It's not about what they see on the page as
right.
much. And that phonological awareness that we touched on earlier, kids who have dyslexia often have a lot of trouble with that piece, that phonological awareness piece. In fact, when we test kids for reading to see where they are, to see if they have difficulties with reading, we test those phonological awareness skills first.
Right.
Can they hear rhymes? Can they produce rhymes? Can they segment out the first sound of a word or
right.
a last sound of a word? Can they delete the first sound of a word? If you say, you know, can you say the word met without the sound?
Mm.
And kids who have dyslexia often have difficulties with those skills.
Right.
So those can be signs, that can be a sign also of, you know, maybe it's going to be a little bit harder for them to learn to read.
Right.
But meeting with somebody, the speech pathologist or a reading specialist or someone like that can sort of tease out if there's a problem there.
Right. Yeah. I think that was my last question for you, but did you have anything
okay.
else you wanted to add before we signed off?
Oh my gosh. I'm sure I'll think of it later. I'm sure cooking dinner tonight, I'll think of all the things that I should have said or should have answered with you. I guess I just want to say, to parents to relax
yeah.
and to enjoy this time.
Right.
It's so exciting. I mean, this has really been my passion as an adult and an educator, is watching kids learn to read. I have so much fun doing that. It's exciting. It's a major milestone in their
yeah.
life. You know, it opens up the world to them.
Right.
And, you know, I understand the anxiety of it. I'm a parent
oh, yeah.
myself too, but if possible, to sort of understand that this is the process. Not all kids learn to read at the same time. It doesn't necessarily mean there's a problem.
Right.
And to sort of enjoy the excitement of it. because it really is a special time.
Oh, yes, it is really magical. Well, thank you so much for being here. This has been fabulous. And we really appreciate you sharing all your knowledge with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much to the audience for listening. Make sure to subscribe and leave us a little rating and review. It helps other folks find the podcast. And we'll chat with you next time.